In the book of Genesis, there's a story of Jacob. In that story, Jacob takes his family and all their possessions across the river. That night, he goes back across and physically wrestles with a man until the sun starts to rise. When the man realizes that he's not going to prevail against Jacob, he touched Jacob's hip socket, and Jacob's hip popped out of joint. After doing so, the man said, "Let me go," but Jacob said, "Not until you bless me." The man asked Jacob's name. When he was told, the man stated that your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, for you have fought vigorously with God and with man and have prevailed. To me, that's a truly compelling visual of how we all wrestle with God at some point. I know I've struggled with that in my life. To be truly free, he had to submit to God. We all have to do that in our lives. Welcome, everyone, and those watching online. Happy Independence Weekend. This weekend's message is entitled Freedom in His Grace and revolves around Galatians 5. And happy birthday to my niece Brooke back there in the back row. Nearly 2.5 centuries ago, 50-plus patriotic men assembled in Philadelphia to endorse the words of Thomas Jefferson. They stated one of the most political revolutions in human history, words that stir the feelings of people who speak and value freedom. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that we are endowed by their Creator, and certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom is an idea in every life. Where do you seek it? How do you exercise it? Let's consider a few of those ways that people have done that throughout history. Some seek freedom by force. People who want freedom for themselves seek it by using their force on others. What they want, they take. They respect neither the person nor the property of others. Their sole intent is to satisfy their own wants and desires. The philosophy of this quest is might makes right. It is the philosophy of bully who demands that others give in to his wishes. He or she uses verbal force or threats when possible, and physical force or violence when necessary. Force cannot bring lasting freedom. As Jesus said in Matthew 26:52, all that live by the sword shall perish with the sword. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned down. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons who were captured and made prisoners. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships from the war. Carter Braxton, a Virginia wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold all of his property and possessions to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, British General Cornwallis took up his headquarters at Thomas Nelson's home. Nelson quietly ordered for General Washington to open fire on his own estate. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his home as he was at his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. The next year and a half, he hid in the woods and in caves, and when he finally was able to return home, his wife had passed away and his kids had vanished. A few weeks later, he died of exhaustion and probably a broken heart. In John 10:10, it states, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Another is a quest for rules and laws for ordering society. The Declaration of Independence is history's best-known statement of this quest. The U.S. Constitution and its Bill of Rights are the most celebrated expressions of this achievement. Philosophy of freedom through law as President Gerald Ford phrased in his inaugural address, is right makes might. That is, right laws are for the people, essential to civil tranquility, domestic peace, and social harmony. Law provides limited freedom at best. It marks the boundaries within which one can operate freely, but one within one cannot. Revolutionary War era statesman Patrick Henry, famous for the quote, "Give me liberty or give me death," was also responsible for saying, "It cannot be emphasized too strong or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Patrick Henry understood how true freedom is created in one's life. Sometimes law is capable of abuse, and that is, it is used as a force for tyranny against its own people. Law is no better than those who make, execute, and interpret it, supported by people who have confidence in both the laws and the public officials. The U.S. system rests on the view that God implemented a law in nature, and that government laws are to be consistent with it. Our nation abandoned most of those principles over the years. Our country's first president understood that possibility. George Washington, at his farewell address to the nation, stated, "Do not let anyone claim the tribute of American patriotism if they're ever to remove religion from politics." However essential, good laws applied equally to all and administered even-handedly are the order of society. Law cannot give people the full freedom for which their heart yearns, though, unfortunately. Anyone can find freedom in God's grace. That's the only true way, through faith and expressing His love. Freedom is available to anyone who belongs to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the theme in Galatians, a letter written by Paul in the heat of the controversy between those who tried to make the Gentile Christians observe Jewish ceremonial laws and those who insisted of God's grace, which would lead them to Jesus Christ and His faith, His freedom. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, "If you abide by my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free." Again, the truth will set you free. To further support that statement, in Galatians 3:22 it says, "But the Scripture imprisoned everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." In Galatians 3:2, it is asked, "Let me ask you only this. Do you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" Brothers and sisters, salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to true freedom. Spiritual freedom can exist even when human law constricts. When Paul was in prison, he wrote, "I have learned to be content in any situation." He was freer than the man who imprisoned him, Nero. See, that emperor was torn between his ego, evil desires, and fears of his enemy. Romans 6:14 says, "For the sin will have no domain over you, since you are not under law, but under God's grace." True love is a companionship with faith. The love of faith cannot be matched by any love on earth. In 1 John 4:18 it states, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." God is love. This love is freeing. Not to do as we want, but to do what's right in God's eyes and His words. Romans 6:15 says, "What then, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means." In Romans 6:18, it reinforces this by saying, "And having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness." Galatians 5 talks of freedom in many ways. In 5:1 it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The slavery to sin can be a truly spiritual battle. Galatians 5:13-14 adds, "For if you've been called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Galatians 5 has had a huge impact on me and my walk. See, when I first was asked to attend church about 10 years ago, I told Pastor Harlow that at the time that I'd think about it. When Sunday morning rolled around, I really didn't want to do it. I asked God, why should I be there? You're so powerful. Give me a reason. FYI, don't do that. He'll usually put you in place. I grabbed the Bible and flipped it open at random, placed my finger on the page. It was Galatians 5:16. I read through 16 through 21. It just sounded like the last decade plus of my life. I'm not sure, but I think my heart may have stopped for a few seconds as it all set in. Galatians 5:16-21 talks about how the flesh and the spirit are in conflict. They're polar opposites. The deeds of the flesh are all sinful in their nature. They are not pleasing to God, and continued practice of such actions will not allow you to inherit the kingdom of God. Some pretty confining and powerful tools of the enemy. God doesn't want these things in our lives, but rather he wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-24 talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how they are blessings from and pleasing to God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All very freeing fruit to have if you're being Spirit-led. The key point this week is freedom in God's unwavering love is essential to peace and everlasting freedom, no matter the peaks and valleys of our journey. Paul used the word freedom 28 times. He used the word grace 100 times in his writings. The rest of the New Testament used the word grace 55 times. The Apostle Paul had his heart deeply imprinted with freedom and grace through Christ our Lord. John 8:36 states, "So if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed." Now turn to your neighbor and say, "You are free indeed." Feels good, doesn't it? Freedom in Christ is sometimes not an easy life. And in Scripture, Herod the king of Judah incarcerated John the Baptist and finally beheaded him. But John was free while his captor was a slave, even though he was called king. Nero was a slave while Paul was God's free man shouting, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," while he was in a Roman prison. Again, in 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Fear is a tool of the enemy. Freedom of Christ is love through his sacrifice for our sin. True freedom doesn't exist if you're still living a sinful nature. Today, if you're not living in this freedom and don't truly know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please take the time to search your hearts. Come to the altar if you feel it led to. Cry out to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Pastor James and myself will be available after the service if anyone wants to discuss their journey with us. Once again, for those who might have been taking a nap during the message, they kind of missed the key point. I won't call out any names or anything, Beth. Freedom in God's unwavering love is essential to peace, everlasting freedom, no matter the peaks and valleys of our journey. Worship team, if you please make your way up to the front as we go to the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today and for all the blessings in our life, Lord, and for the right to be able to assemble, and for the blessings of fathers. As you know, I give this message, it just reminded me of, first off, my Heavenly Father, who, you know, makes all this possible, and who does everything, and just amazing, and knows it all. And my earthly father, who gave me a true love of country and family, as you know, this weekend really reminds you of. And the fathers of our country, who made it to where they understood that God needed to be first, and that we needed to have that foundation as a nation. And Lord, just ask that you be with everyone as they travel home today. Just ask for safe travels and for your continued blessings. And just ask you to continue to work in our hearts and in our world, in your world. In your Son's holy name,